This podcast is for general information only. It is not intended as a substitute for general healthcare services. If you have medical conditions, you need to see your doctor. Use of this information is at the user's own risk. Welcome to FitRx with Dr. Greg Dennis. Join me as we challenge the standard sick model of healthcare. This is your source for everything health, wellness, prevention, fitness, biohacking, and more. Hello, everyone. Welcome to another edition of FitRx. I'm your host, Dr. Greg Dennis. Very excited to talk to my next guest. His name is Steve Bass. And so let me tell you a little bit about him, and then I will let him talk. But I went to a bodybuilding show just a couple of weeks ago to watch a friend of mine compete. And so I saw this guy doing first the classic physique category. And for those who don't know what that is, a classic physique, and he'll probably be able to explain a little bit better than me, but it's really just what it sounds like. It's that classic physique that goes on, obviously low body fat, but muscularity and proportion, you know, but maybe not the huge grotesque, you know, that the traditional bodybuilding is. And it's a fantastic look. And anyway, so I saw this guy there, and he started winning. He started winning all these categories, and he kept winning. And so he won like the 30 plus, and then he won the 40 plus. And then I saw him in the 50 plus category, and I was kind of sitting back. So, you know, couldn't really, wasn't up close. I was like, man, this guy's over 50, looks fantastic. Well, he won that class too. And I thought, I've got to get him on the podcast, just kind of hear his story and find out how he got in that good of shape at that age. So even if you're not into bodybuilding, I feel like that you will be able to get something from this episode of just learning a little bit, because obviously these guys are getting, you know, single digit body fat numbers. And so just learning about how somebody that age can do that, I really feel like you can get some just health tips from this, if nothing else. So anyway, looking forward to this conversation. So Steve, welcome to the show.
Hey, thank you, Dr. Dennis. I'm really looking forward to our time here together today.
Yeah. Well, I guess just let's start from the beginning. You know, tell us about a little bit about you and your history. Have you always been into weightlifting? And then, you know, that the kind of the evolution of that and how that led up to doing a bodybuilding show and getting into the kind of shape that we saw you in here just a couple of weeks ago.
Okay. Well, I always grew up an athlete, but I was a basketball player, and I played football, ran track in high school. I walked on at Arkansas State in Jonesboro, Arkansas for basketball for 1 year, and then had a lot of ankle injuries and just transferred to University of Arkansas, where I finished out my degree. And I was always active, but not on weight training. My dad always used to say that weight training will stunt your growth. And so he would never let me weight train. So my grandfather passed away a few years ago of type 2 diabetes. My dad is like 6'8", 350 pounds, really big guy, lives in Fayetteville, Arkansas, and he's got type 2 diabetes. And so it actually started out when I was 51 and a half, and I said, you know, I'm about 16% body fat, and I do not want to be a type 2 diabetic. And I want to learn how to be disciplined on weight training and diet, so that when it comes to eating the bad stuff, i.e. pizza, chicken, fried chicken, burgers, all that kind of stuff, bread, soda, that I can actually justify eating it, or sweets, because I'm disciplined enough to eat healthy the majority of the time. And I grew up eating unhealthy all my life. And even though I was never fat or obese in any way, I still had a high fat percentage. And so, as you mentioned earlier, when you train for a show, and I trained for my first one, and when I was 52 and a half is when I started my first show, you get down about between 3 to 4% body fat. And it's unbelievable how you train for this in order to do it. It's been a total unknown for me up to the last couple of years, and I've learned a ton from some great coaches. And those coaches have shown me the right things to do at the right time in order to train and not get hurt and still be healthy and doing 50 plus bodybuilding.
Nice. So you said you started this about when you were about 51. Prior to that, what were you doing? I mean, were you going to the gym, just eating bad? I mean, were you doing anything at all?
Not really. I mean, I would be somewhat active, where I might go jog or, go with the kids and go play a basketball on an outdoor court or go play some tennis or something. But it was very infrequent. There was no regular gym time or anything like that. What really hurt me was about 8 years ago, I was in a real bad car accident. A lady was going the wrong way down the interstate outside of Houston. T-boned my car, and I had to have six surgeries. So two lower back surgeries, two left shoulder surgeries, replaced the C6 in my
Wow.
neck, and I had to have right wrist surgery. All that happened over 2 years, and Dr. Dennis, I couldn't work out one time for 2 years.
Wow.
And I remember when they first gave me the green light, said, "Hey, you can try to start jogging." I tried to jog to the mailbox and back, and I looked like a 90-year-old man. I mean, no muscles were firing. Everything was kind of lethargic and atrophic, and it was rough. So I had to kind of gradually ease back into, after all those surgeries, any type of exercise. So when somebody mentioned bodybuilding, I'm thinking Arnold Schwarzenegger. I'm thinking, no, that's not for me. And they go, "No, yeah, they have Masters 50 plus bodybuilding, and you can do this in Men's Physique or Classic, like you mentioned." And I said, "Okay." So I started researching it, and I said, "I'm going to try to do this, but I think I'm going to be limited on what things I can do as far as lifting because of my lower back and those surgeries." So I've just eased into it a little bit at a time, listened to the coaches, and have been able to build up to what you saw on June 10th in Tulsa, which was has been kind of the pinnacle of my bodybuilding career thus far.
So it seems like most people that I know that get into bodybuilding have a pretty good physique, already. Maybe not bodybuilding shape, but they have some muscle and they've been weightlifting for a while. And then that kind of opens the door and makes them start thinking about that. And then they kind of tailor their training to that. It sounds like you weren't really in that camp. Like were just doing maybe standard exercise at best. And so what how did you all of a sudden just think, I'm gonna do bodybuilding? I mean, was it once you started working out and you started getting a little bit of physique, and did you see that in yourself and thinking, oh, I'm putting some muscle on, maybe I can do this? Or was it just from the beginning that goal to say, hey, I'm gonna look like that, and you just went towards it?
No, it's actually the former instead of the latter. I did not foresee me 2 years down the road what I was going to look like, or and I'm a visionary. I mean, I have my own financial company called Bass Financial Solutions. I work about 90% of my business is with physicians. I'm a visionary. I'm very rigid with my calendar. I work out 6 days a week, 2 hours a day. With just Sunday as the only, free day. And most of those days when you're bulking, you're only going to have one cheat meal a week, which means you could eat anything you want. Everything else is a very strict diet of a certain amount of carbs, a certain amount of protein, a certain amount of fat. Then when you go into the cutting stage, okay, now you're cutting more of the carbs out, you're having more protein, and you're feeding, it's 5 to 6 meals a day. But what I knew I wanted to do, and you being a physician, I know you understand this, is I had to trick my metabolism into going, oh, hold on a second. He's not eating three big meals a day. He's eating six small meals, and he's drinking a gallon to a gallon and a half of water a day. Okay, this is, and the body is saying, we're not used to this. And so all of a sudden, when you're sleeping, you might weigh yourself. And then when you get up in the morning, you might be 3, 4, 5 pounds lighter than you were when you went to bed, because your metabolism just gets so high. So my metabolic rate went from like in the 8,000s up to like 10,500. And that's just a tremendous metabolic rate for a guy in his 50s. So I was burning a lot of calories and burning it in the right way. So I was fueling my body in the right way to burn that good food and good drink in the right way to be able to build muscle. Now, fortunately, I have not had a lot of joint issues like with knees or anything like that, where I've not had old injuries that have prevented me from working out. Some guys in their 50s just can't work out because of old injuries. And also, I have had a propensity to build muscle in my 50s while just using testosterone and vitamin supplements. I mean, that's all I use. I don't use any illegal substances, although a lot of these competitions that I go to, they are using those substances to gain an edge. And I just don't, I don't judge that, but my personal opinion for me is that I want to live a long life. There's too much uncertainty with that.
Yeah.
And I want to be around for my grandkids for sure, as much as I can control. So I try to keep everything very, very clean.
Yeah.
Another thing I think that's helped me in my life is I've never been a drinker. I've never been a smoker. I've never done illegal drugs. I've never done any of that kind of stuff ever in my life. So I've lived a very clean lifestyle. I think that's helped. Some people could say, well, you're just a beast. You just genetically have this, you know, look or whatever. I mean, that could help a little bit, but still at the same time, you've got to put the work in
for sure,
you know, each and every day.
So you started building muscle, you know, eating differently. I guess you were starting to look pretty good. And then that's when you said, hey, I can, you know, there's this 50s plus, you know, master's division. Like I can do this. Was that kind of your mindset?
Yes. And so my first show was when I was 52 and a half, and I went to Nashville, and they called the Nashville Night of Champions.
Okay.
Actually near Chattanooga. There were 15 guys in the 50 plus classic physique, the most guys I've ever seen in any classic physique show since then. And there were 13 in men's physique. And you have to remember, I've done this. I've trained maybe 11, 12 months. And I took second in classic physique, and I took fourth in men's physique. And in true novice, which is against 20-year-olds, which is you can do for your very first show,
sure,
took fifth. So there's four 20-year-old guys up there and then me.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
the fifth place medal was probably my favorite medal of all of them, because I'm like, hey, I'm up here with these 20-year-old guys. You know, I have a son that's 25 years old.
Yeah.
So it felt really good. And that gave me the confidence to keep going and to believe that I could do more. And now the goal is to try before I'm at least by age 55, which would be next year, to get a pro card. People go, what would you do with that? And I said, I have no idea. It's just a goal. You know, I don't know what I would do with it. I don't think I would try to go to pro shows, because then you're going to be too tempted to juice up. And I just don't want to do that. And so I just have it as, we all have different goals for our lives. And it's interesting. My wife has an early form of osteoporosis called osteopenia.
Mm-hmm.
And so on her own, she just saw what I was doing, and she decided, hey, I'm going to go into bodybuilding too. And in September, she's going to try to compete in her first show in Little Rock in the bikini category. And I said, okay, as long as this, you know that I'm not saying you should do this, this is totally your decision. And then our daughter has also started getting involved with our trainer as far as diet and everything. So it's been very inspirational for a lot of people, and have people come up to me in the gym or outside the gym all the time and say, hey, what are you doing?
Yeah.
And Dr. Dennis, I think I heard something from an old trainer a long time ago when I first started that really made a lot of sense. He goes, you can't outwork a bad diet. And because you know, people will say, I'm gonna go have my pizza this weekend and I'll do an extra 30 minutes on the treadmill on Monday. It just doesn't work that way, unfortunately. You have to be extremely disciplined and consistent on a week in, week out basis with the diet and the exercise.
It might when you're 20, you can
work your way right. We 50 plus guys, we can't get away with that.
Yeah, for sure. So what do you think was the difference from 2 years ago to now? And because, like I said, you won pretty much every category in the classic physique. Were you more muscular? Were you leaner? Were you all the above?
I was more muscular for sure. The gentleman who was emceeing that show, Michael Elias, he's my coach.
Okay.
And he's the one who's provided all of the nutrition, the weightlifting plan. You know, if you're doing back and abs one day, chest, triceps and abs another day, he's provided all of that, as well as posing sessions, contest prep, all of that. And when I went to Nationals last year, they said, hey, you know, you're going to have to get your back wider and you're going to get more depth to it. And so we took those notes and he just has started as my coach, and we started doing things that isolated or targeted that area while working the rest of my body.
Yeah.
The very first show, it was like, your leg lines don't come all the way up your leg. You've got to do more leg presses. You got to do more of this. You're going to start deadlifting. Well, with my lower back, I didn't even want to try that. So I started out light and kind of worked up to heavy. And so as I have done that, I feel like on the show that you saw on June the 10th, my muscularity was there. My carb depletion earlier in the week and my carb reload just before the show was pinpoint. I was dried out. I had very little water. My posing coach, who's Michael, had my posing spot on for what I needed to do. And I think everything together, working on your posing week in and week out, as you're cutting down and getting, you know, you're seeing more and more of those lines and striations. I say you're going from a grape to a raisin.
Uh-huh.
And you kind of shrink up, and then you start seeing, you know, your veins pop out, you turn to a roadmap, and next thing you know, you're like, whoa, this is crazy. And all of a sudden you see that the potential of what can be, but you don't really see it until the last few weeks of your cut for all the work you did in the previous months during your bulking time.
Yeah.
You don't see it until you actually start cutting the fat. And so it all happened just to all come together at the right time for that show, which we consider the Oklahoma State Bodybuilding Championships to be a prep show for Nationals. And there's some things I need to do better as far as posing and other things that as we see the videos. But overall, it was very humbling. It was surreal to be on stage and winning first place in the open against 20-year-olds.
Yeah,
I was, you know, very, very pleased with how I came in. And I felt like I presented my best self. And that's probably the pinnacle of my bodybuilding career was when you saw me on that.
Well, you did awesome. So congratulations. And like I said, and that's when, you know, when I realized you were 50 plus, I was like, oh my gosh, what is this guy doing, you know, to look like that. And especially now hearing your story, it's even more impressive. So, well, let's talk a little bit of kind of nuts and bolts. Tell us about your routine as far as weightlifting. You don't have to go into, you know, significant detail, but just kind of, you know, tell us what that looks like when preparing for, you know, what you did in a classic physique competition.
Well, for me, because of where my physique is, I am having to work back twice a week and legs twice a week. So I only work one day of shoulders and one day of chest. And so I only work my biceps and my triceps once a week. I'm in right now what you call a recomposition phase. So I've got 12 weeks or 11 weeks to Nationals. So last week, including this week, I'm doing four sets of 20 reps. Let's say today I did it on leg press. But then I go over to the barbell squat and I do four sets of five reps. So something heavy. And then I'm doing four sets of 20 reps on stiff leg deadlifts. And then I do four sets of five of barbell hack squats. And then I'm doing four sets of 20 of walking lunges. And then I go do four sets of 20 on calf raises. And then I do decline crunches with a 45-pound plate or a 50-pound dumbbell. And I am totally wiped out on Wednesday after that workout. So that's called a recompensation or recomposition phase between shows. If once I get to 8 weeks out, I'll go to cutting and everything is kind of a moderate weight with elevated reps.
Yeah.
And so you won't do anything that's 10 or fewer reps because you're not bulking anymore. You're trying to cut. And he'll lower my calories, he'll lower my carbs, and we'll be back into the cutting phase again. And let me tell you, it's not for the faint of heart. The diet is the hardest part.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, and every guy in the gym would say, oh, I can lift, but I'm not going to do the diet. And I say, hey, I definitely understand.
Yeah. Before I ask about that, so when you were building muscle, were you doing more traditional kind of a split, you know, chest and, you know, shoulders, triceps one day, you know, just the typical split and kind of heavier weight, pretty much what you were doing?
Yes. So it was the same thing. It would be, you know, chest and triceps one day, you know, back and biceps another day. You're doing abs every day. And then when you're bulking, you only do cardio twice a week versus when you're cutting, you're going to do it five times a week. And when I say cardio, it's not running. You're going to put the treadmill as high as it can go, which is usually 15.0. And you're going to walk between a 3.0 and 4.0 speed at an incline and try not to hold on as much as you can. And so, you know, right now I'm doing that three or four times a week, 15 minutes a day.
Yeah.
But when I get closer to the competition, I'm doing it at least 30, if not 45 minutes a day, except for leg day. And so that's kind of what it gets you. But yes, it's the, when you're bulking, it's the smaller reps between 6 to 10, and there's a chest day, there's a back day, there's a leg day. There's usually two leg days. And then one day could just be biceps and triceps day. It just depends on where he feels like you need to put in some more work. Because everybody's got weak spots. So for me, I know when I go to a competition that my back and legs will look good and my midsection, but my chest will shrink a lot. So we'll put more emphasis on working the chest a little bit more before a competition, just to give it a little bit more pump, to get the blood flow in there a little bit more. So I don't lose a lot of my chest going into the competition. So everybody's different like that, though. Everybody has a spot that's really hard to train. Now, for us 50-plus guys, the worst spot when we're cutting to get rid of the fat is the middle of the back. Mm-hmm. That subcutaneous fat right there in the middle. And it's really hard to do. But if you cut long enough, you can get rid of it.
Yeah. What's the secret in not getting hurt, especially at 54 years old? What would you say if people ask you that?
Well, one thing is I train by myself. I don't train with anybody else that says, hey, you can push and get one more rep, because that's where you get hurt. So let's say I'm on the bench press and I know my max is 350 pounds. And somebody goes, hey, you know, we can get 360. Let's try one rep for 360. I'm just not going to do that. If I feel the worst guys for places for 50 plus guys to get hurt is the pec muscle and the bicep tendon. And so when I feel those getting like super tight and I feel like I've done enough reps, I'll just pull back and not go for it. Yeah. Other times, you're feeling your salt for that day, you might go for it a little bit.
Yeah, it's funny you say that. Those are the two muscles that I've torn.
Oh, really?
The pec was many, many years ago before. I mean, I was weightlifting, but not really, I wouldn't say into bodybuilding. So it was just a fluke thing. And then the bicep was doing CrossFit, and of course you're doing real quick, kind of jerks. And so anyways, yeah, but I've torn both of those. So, but I'm still in there. So, let's talk about nutrition, because I agree with you. I think that is what keeps most people from doing this kind of thing. You know, there's all kind of people that you see in the gym, they go to the gym, and that's great. They're getting some health benefits out of it. I mean, exercise is fantastic for you. But as far as getting that kind of sculpted physique like you did, I don't think people probably understand the dedication that's required from a nutritional standpoint. So talk a little bit about what that's like for you day to day, what you eat, that kind of thing.
Well, I'm having 6 meals a day. So before I go to the gym, my meals consist of a whey protein shake with 1.5 scoops of whey protein, an apple, and a tablespoon of organic peanut butter.
And this is before you work out?
This is before I go to the gym.
Okay.
That's correct. Now, could I have a pre-workout, you know, a little stimulator type thing that you can drink? I could, maybe if I wanted to. I don't really do that. While I'm working out, there's something called Extend, X-T-E-N-D. It's a BCAA supplement that I drink while I'm working out, which is good. When I get back, it's interesting. He wants to try to put a little bit of sugar in my body, so I'm having Gatorade powder with water, about 30 grams of dextrose, Gatorade powder with water. And then 30 minutes after that, I'm having another whey protein shake, 1.5 scoops, and then 1/2 cup of whole oats measured dry, or you can make oatmeal with 3/4 cup of whole oats.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. He also likes me to take omega-3 fish oil caps, like for a couple of grams, or you can take it as a liquid, like either omega-3 fish oil caps or flax oil while I'm taking those meals. And then around noon, I get my choice. I can have 6 ounces. Now, this is cooked. 6 ounces is raw, so it's 4.5 ounces cooked of either ground turkey, chicken breast, or fish. And then I'm having right now, it's usually 1 cup of jasmine rice or brown rice. Jasmine rice doesn't work for my body. So I have to do brown rice. And the cool thing is if you go to the store, you can actually buy the cups of brown rice that are just 1 cup. You just peel the plastic off the top, put it in the microwave for a minute. It's ready to go. So no, not because you're trying to weigh all this stuff. And instead of that just cuts out having to weigh your rice. You can do 12 ounces of sweet potato instead of, you know, or 8 ounces of sweet potato instead of the rice if you want to. And then it's a cup of steamed or fresh vegetables. So, and then everything from that point on is the same. I mean, there's a 2:30 meal. That's a whey protein shake. There's a 5 o'clock meal. That's another 6 ounces of ground turkey, chicken breast or fish with the jasmine rice and the fresh steamed vegetables. And then, before I go to bed, it's casein protein for 1.5 scoops. And casein protein is something great for muscle recovery. And if you drink it early enough, I drink it no later than 8 o'clock at night. I try to be in bed by 9:30. So if I'm getting up by 6 or so, I mean, I've had a good, you know, eight hours or more of sleep. Mm-hmm. Sleep is a wonderful friend for one who is tired.
Mm-hmm.
Let me tell you.
So you're doing, if I follow that correctly, you're doing 3 protein shakes in a day.
Yes.
Wow. That's a lot. Any idea of how much protein you're getting compared to like your weight?
Yes. The protein is usually about 35 grams of protein per shake.
Okay.
Now for the day.
Yeah, for the day.
Right, how much now, right now, my recomp phase, I'm getting about 260 grams of protein a day.
Wow.
If I'm cutting, I'm getting like 360.
Well, and how much do you weigh?
I I weighed on stage when you saw me in Oklahoma State Championships, 208. I currently weigh 217. I was about, I probably got up to like 221.
Yeah.
You know, so after you have your, you can eat whatever you want before you start back into training.
But so you're now getting that 1.5 grams roughly, probably of protein per pound of body weight, something like
yes.
that. Okay.
Yeah. That's very accurate.
Mm-hmm. Now the diet that you just explained, is that, was that pre-contest, or was, is that just kind of a maintenance muscle building type of a phase, and how do those differ?
That is the maintenance phase. That's not pre-contest. You know, pre-contest, he is going to cut out, you know, I don't get the apple and peanut butter. I don't get as much rice or carbs. I'm having a little bit more chicken or a little bit more protein. Instead of 1.5 scoops, I'm having 2 scoops. So the protein goes up and the carbs come down.
And cardio goes up.
And the cardio goes up. So yeah. You're, when I finished my bulk stage before Oklahoma, and this was middle of March, I was 241 pounds. So when I weighed in, I weighed in at 207. Stage weight, I was 208. So I lost 34 pounds.
Wow.
From my bulking stage to my stage weight. And the key is just trying to keep as much muscle as you can, because you have to put on fat in order to gain muscle. You have to do it. And so I wish we could go in with a magic wand and just trim off every ounce of fat and just keep all the muscle, but you're going to lose a little bit of muscle in the process. But if you have the right diet, you'll cut more of the fat than you will the muscle. And obviously you're trying to retain a few more pounds of muscle each year, but it's an amazing formula that I knew nothing about all my life.
Yeah.
until I was 51 and a half. And then when I heard about it, I'm like, okay, I've got to see this work. And I dove into the deep end and went for it.
So how do you stay that consistent? Because that's a pretty bland diet, protein shakes and chicken and rice. And I remember it. Of course, I just did it for a very short time. You know, when I started the process, I was probably 12% body fat, and I can feel like I can get lean fairly quickly, you know, definitely easier than I can bulk. But I definitely wasn't any 5% body fat or that low, but even for a short amount of time, when it was over, for a while, I didn't want any chicken, fish, or rice again in my whole life. And so how do you stay consistent just eating such a bland diet like that?
Well, it's just keeping your eyes on the prize. I mean, I know that if I decide that I'm going to be real lackadaisical about my diet for a few weeks, that it may cost me the opportunity to get that pro card come the end of August. I want to give myself every opportunity. I don't want to have any regrets. If I don't get it, which I may not get it this year, it could be maybe next year. I have a better chance at age 55 of getting it, probably a 75% chance versus probably a 25% chance this year. But once I'm done with my shows, I'll go back to bulking again, which is basically the same diet, but with some more carbs. And I'll get to have a cheat meal every once a week. And that's it. And yes, the diet can be a bit monotonous. There are some choices in there that you can learn about in the bodybuilding world to kind of get your protein and put in your body in different ways. So it's just not all bland. You can season your chicken. You can put Taco Bell seasoning on your ground turkey, your 99% lean ground turkey, and you can season it up to give it a little bit of sodium. That's fine. You can do that. So everything you're eating is not just, you know, like bland green beans out of a can or something. So you can do that, which helps, but it's really just the goals. I want to I like the way I look. I like the way I feel. I remember how I felt when I was eating a lot of the junk, and I felt constipated. I felt bloated. I just didn't feel right. Sometimes you could be up at night and go, okay, do I need to go to the bathroom or not? I mean, I don't have any of that. My body is just so consistent and processes food so well now. I feel so healthy, healthier than I've ever been in my entire life. I don't want to give that up. But I still get to go on vacation. So Dr. Dennis, I still get to go, like, with my, we can go to Mexico, and I can call my coach and say, I'm going to be eating cheat meals 5 days in a row. And he'll go, well, just don't overdo it. Yeah. You know, he goes, you know, don't go crazy. You're going to gain some weight, but we'll take it back off. So you can't, there are some opportunities like that, but you try to make those few and far between.
So what is your favorite cheat meal?
It's either going to be pizza, or it's going to be nachos at a place over here that has the best big, big, huge plate of nachos that I've ever tasted in my life. They're unbelievable. Nice.
Yeah. So do you meal prep once a week, or how do you do all this? Because for me, you know, being a doctor, and, you know, I kind of want to do all this stuff, but it's just busy, you know, day to day, and I'll get my food together in the morning. But then, of course, if you don't have anything made, it sometimes is difficult. So how do you do all that through the week?
I do it all on Sunday. So Sunday's okay. The day off where I'm not lifting. So on Sunday, we go to the grocery store. We buy everything we need for the week. We cook it all on Sunday. And then I weigh it and split it up into the meals. And I've got Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, at least those 5 days in the refrigerator.
Nice.
So it remember, it's three shakes and two meals a day right now. So I'm just pulling. Yeah. So it's just, I've just got to prep, you know, 8 to 10 meals. And then yeah. I've got them in the refrigerator. They're labeled Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. And I too, you know, I've got a financial business, and sometimes those meetings are back to back to back. And so I want that microwavable chicken and rice and beans that I can just slap in the microwave and eat real quick. So like you, on a busy schedule, you've just got to do all your prep on Sunday.
Yeah. You said you felt really good. Obviously, as you get into your 50s, you have to be concerned about health and cardiovascular health and all that, which we don't really have to worry about probably in our 20s and or 30s. I don't know, in my experience, that and obviously people like you who are exercising are healthier than sedentary people. And I'm very interested in bodybuilding, and I did, you know, kind of somewhat do it myself, not to your level, but I don't know that I'm convinced that bodybuilders are the healthiest people out there, because you're feeding yourself so much. And, you know, I've talked about something called mTOR, you're always stimulating something called mTOR, which is a growth pathway. We don't have to go down that road, but I guess my question for you is you feel really good. Is all that translating over to all your other health parameters, your labs? I mean, you know, cardiovascular tests, everything else.
It's a great question. And it's, it has two answers, actually. During the bulking season, you know, I have my blood work done every 3 months. And then my physician goes through that blood work with me. And during the bulking season, bodybuilding is not healthy when you're bulking. My hemoglobin, my hematocrit will be up. I could be pre-diabetic numbers around 5.2, 5.3. For the first time in my life this last fall, my blood pressure was up. I've never had high blood pressure at all. And so you look at those numbers, your cholesterol could be up maybe in some places because you're not doing much cardio. You're eating healthy meals, but you're eating a lot of carbs.
It's always in a surplus.
And you're not exercising off a lot of that. So you're putting on some fat in order to put on some muscle. You're just not doing it by eating pizzas and burgers. So then when you start cutting and you get your lab work, all of those numbers have corrected themselves, even to the point to where you go, oh, it's, you're almost like an elite athlete. Your blood pressure, oh, well, your low mark is 60. And you're like, wow, that's pretty cool. So everything goes better when you're leaning out. So when I plan on doing this at least one more year through age 55 to try to get that pro card, and then to say, hey, I actually got a pro bodybuilding card at one time in my life. And then after that, I plan to stay around to go back into the 200 to 210 pound range and be lean and keep my numbers healthy, where I'm doing cardio on a regular basis and not doing the bulking anymore. Because you're exactly right. I mean, so bodybuilding is not healthy during the bulking stage. It can be very healthy during the cutting stage. Now, let's just give that a little caveat. Okay, when you're up on stage and you're at between 3 to 4% body fat, are you healthy? Actually, no, you're not. And the reason you're not is because your kidneys, your liver, everything has having a lot of pressure on it. You're extremely dehydrated to have that much cut. And so when you refuel with water, there is a pill called Silymarin, Silymarin. And it's to help like restore your kidneys and your liver like to a normal function again. And you might take it for 30 days after your contest just to make sure that your internal organs are recovering from all the pressure that you put on them with the cutting. So anybody says that, you know, hey, I'd love to look like you, they don't really know. There's a lot of different things going on at different stages of that bodybuilding year that you may not want to experience. But if you have the right coach, you have the right doctor, somebody like yourself who really understands what bodybuilding is about and can coach people the right way, then as long as you follow those instructions, you're going to be just fine. Yeah. You know, you just got to pay attention.
What advice would you give people who are listening? Because most people listen to this aren't going to go to a bodybuilding show. You know, they're into health and wellness. And a lot of them just want to cut body fat and probably look good in a bathing suit, but not to the bodybuilding level. What would you recommend for them? I mean, how can they take some of the things you've been talking about in the bodybuilding world, but just translate that over into just kind of practical everyday life for most people?
My advice is to get a coach. I mean, honestly, people that try to self-manage their money a lot of times don't understand everything there's about money. And one thing I've learned about the physicians who are my clients, they are wonderful with medicine. They are horrible with money. So they need a financial coach, right? And when I got into this, I realized I don't know what I don't know. I need to have a trainer who knows how to train somebody, get somebody ready for a show, so I do this the right way and I don't hurt myself. And so even if you're not planning on going to a show, but you say, hey, I want to cut some body fat, I want to look better in a bathing suit, I would highly recommend going in and getting a trainer and make sure that you don't like overpay them. Like I hear guys going in and paying somebody $1,000, like for $100 a week for 10 weeks and they're hardly getting any instruction at all. It was just like a total waste of money and time. Yeah. I mean, find somebody who's going to give you a very reasonable rate and help you with, these are the types of exercises you should do for what you're wanting to accomplish. This is the type of diet you should look at to put in place to lose weight or to look more trim or to put on a little bit more muscle, whatever your goals are. And it'll be well worth the money. But when I go into a gym, I know you've noticed this too. There are guys who are men and women who are bodybuilding. There are triathletes who are working out for a triathlon. There are people who are power lifters. You see people in all different types of walks of life and stages. And I don't ever judge like what anybody is trying to accomplish there. But one thing I do notice is when they have a coach, it seems like they're very serious about it. And that coach gives that level of accountability that maybe you need at the beginning. And then after a while, you'll be self-accountable and not need them to hold your hand so much. Okay. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Good advice. So, well, So the next thing for you is nationals. So that's and then if you get your pro card, or if not, you're gonna sounds like continue on that journey until you do, right?
Yes.
Is there anywhere people can go and see pictures of you, maybe kind of before and after of the show, just on Facebook or?
If you go to now for the show, I don't have anything on really on Facebook. But for the show, if you go to N as in Nancy, P as in Paul, C as in Charlie, NPC Oklahoma, .com, you can go there, or you can go to NPC Oklahoma Bodybuilding Championships 2023 results. And there's already a photo gallery up there, and so you could click on Classic Physique, and then you can see my name there under one of the categories. Click on my name, and you can see my men's physique pictures, my classic physique pictures. But let's say you're a woman listening to this podcast, and you go, "Hey, I'd love to see what the figure or the wellness or the bikini ladies look like," and they're all different because they have different poses, they have different muscle structure. They're doing different things and they're training for different categories in a certain way. It kind of gives you some inspiration that you can do this. I mean, anybody can do it if they really put their mind to it. I know that's a cliche, but it's really true. And I really appreciate you reaching out to me and wanting me to share a little bit of my story here. I share it with people around here. We have a subdivision magazine, and I've shared my financial and fitness journey there with some pictures and some how I got started in all this. And but I don't have really a website or anything with any before and after pictures.
That's all right. All right. Fair enough. Well, all right. Well, as we wrap up here, my guests know that I always ask, or my listeners know rather, that I always ask my guest, if they could give us one health tip that would make us healthier today, what would you say to that?
One health tip that would make you healthier today is to start.
Okay.
We can't finish what we don't start. So go to Planet Fitness, go to a local gym, go to 10 Fitness where it's $10 a month, or Planet Fitness where it's $10 a month, and talk to somebody and get started. And then, are you going to have a little soreness? Or are you going to have a little pain involved with your lifting or your elliptical machine or your treadmill? Of course you are, because maybe you haven't been doing a whole lot. But that will soon pass, and you will get used to it, and you'll be able to increase the weight. You'll be able to increase the time on the treadmill, and you're going to feel so much better and so much healthier. I would just encourage people to start.
Great advice. All right. Well, thank you so much for visiting with us and just sharing your story, and congratulations on your accomplishments. Look forward to kind of following you and just seeing how you do here in the near future. So,
Thank you so much. I really enjoyed it. Appreciate it.
and appreciate everyone listening, and we will talk to you next time. Thank you for listening to FitRx. I invite you to share this with friends and family. If you would like, you can check out our website at vibrantlifedc.com, or you can email me at drgreg@vibrantlifedc.com.